Live from Santa's Pulse Holiday Bender, where the tequila's time travel capabilities have made it impossible for us to actually remember what happened on Christmas. It's Shenanigans.
Oh,
it's all a blur.
This week we have Rich.
Hi.
Alan.
Hello there.
I'm Craig, and way out in the nether is
Regions.
Yes, I know how the nether works, Craig.
Are you sure you're not missing it at all?
What? I didn't say anything.
So like, how was your thing with the stuff and the people?
We're in a yellow zone. We're not allowed to have people over.
I'm a rule breaker. I still got people coming over.
You had people coming over?
Yeah.
Got one of those black market vaccines, so I'm good.
He had to call the doctor after 4 hours, though.
I don't need a doctor. I need two nurses.
Oh!
Hoo-ah! I don't. I'm happily married. I love you, babe. Merry Christmas.
It's the last week of 2020, and we're probably all thinking the same thing. Thank God fucking year is over.
You know, I know it's been a horrible year in a lot of ways, but I've been looking forward to working from home for a long time.
And now you've got it, right?
I got it.
You had it for, what, 9 months?
Yeah, and there's no end in sight. We've proven we're capable of working from home so well. There's no reason to continue renting the office where we were going to work.
You know who hates that? People like Simonelli and Benderson. They hate it.
Yeah.
And every car dealership on the planet. Because why do you now, if you're working from home, why do you need two or three cars?
Exactly. Yeah.
But in 2021, I'm hopefully looking for a new car.
Get out of here with your new cars. Yours is a nice car.
It was. And then the Captain Cuddlepants parked at the very end of my driveway. And now it's not quite as aerodynamic on my car.
You backed into him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Don't you have coverage?
Yeah, it's my own damn fault. I'm not calling the insurance company on it. I figure here's what I'll do. The last 2 days I've driven my girl's beater, and thank God that those days are behind me, because if I had to drive a beater, I don't know what I would do. And I don't like the girls driving it, because I went and spent $100-some to get an alignment, and it worked great for about 2 or 3 days. Now, to make a right turn, I have to turn the steering wheel left.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
No, it's pretty bad.
Did you reverse the X and Y axis?
It's so, because the steering wheel is so far over in one direction. I don't know what they hit while they're test driving. I don't know if they went over a curb or something, but it's fucking sideways.
But this is part of the alignment company that did it, right? You went and got it done?
They did it. They did a fine job, but then the girls drove it.
Oh, I gotcha.
I look like I'm in NASCAR because my hands are like this on the wheel. They're at 12 and 6 to keep it straight.
I had a Cavalier like that. You never knew which way the tires were turned.
No.
Oh, God. That's awful.
And to mess with them, new cars don't do this, but their car's old enough. I'll get it into the driveway, and I'll check to make sure the car's locked. And if it's not locked, I'll go in there, and I'll yank the steering wheel so the steering wheel locks.
And then they don't know what to do.
Right. They don't know you got to yank on the steering wheel just a little bit just to turn the key.
Yeah, that's mechanical versus electronic nowadays, you know?
Yep.
But as far as your truck goes or your vehicle goes, you should just get that thing fixed. I don't know the complete damage on it, but the truth is,
it's got a scuff on it because it happened where the bumper and the bumper guard is.
Okay.
The problem is there's something underneath that attaches to that that's kind of like the...
Just the bumper bracket.
The bumper bracket, but where it connects on the backside is broken. So it just, I hit a bump. I'm driving in Lockport, so it's all bumps. I hear, so I turn the radio up louder.
That's what you got to do. That's the key, really.
Meanwhile, the neighbor's cat's missing.
Yeah. But I have a Bose system in my car, so it sounds wonderful.
But you got no paint exposed, right? It just only hit plastic and stuff?
No paint exposed at all.
Okay, that's what I was worried about.
Is there anything duct tape could help with?
Oh, maybe.
Gorilla tape. That's what I use now.
Because you can't weld the metal piece to plastic because the plastic burns through.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But then you offset with coat hangers.
Oh, yeah. And gum.
I've had multiple cars held together just with coat hangers and duct tape.
They've got plastic weld, though, for that stuff. If it's the bumper bracket, that's it. I mean, if you didn't really want to fix it. Or what they say you can use is some people even go through it and say just milk cartons. Milk cartons you can go through. I actually fixed my kayaks with milk cartons, too, for whatever reason. That plastic that's on there is like a plastic weld versus something else. It melts and it holds. So you can use that.
Oh, I remember one of our high school teachers talking about melting the rings on the soda cans for a six-pack.
Yeah.
You can melt that down and use that to do stuff.
Get high.
Well, probably. But he said he used it to wax his skis. So that might be something similar.
Sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah. Come here, baby. I'm going to wax your skis tonight.
I dreamed we were skating.
You and I are going down to Bunny Hill. 1.5 times. I'm 50. Where am I going? I trust everybody had a good Christmas. Yes?
As far as you know.
All right, good.
I can't quite remember.
That's how good it was.
It was the tequila.
My mother always
says... I went to a tequila bar in England, and I prayed there.
Really?
And I don't remember what happened for Christmas.
My mother always says she doesn't want anything for Christmas, which winds up being more expensive than just telling us what you want, you know, because then you just get stuff. But the truth is, she doesn't want any knick-knacky stuff anymore, so she gets her bottles of wine or a couple gift cards to Tops or Wegmans and stuff. But this year, she got some new cookware from the casino, so now she needs the fiberware.
For being a frequent buyer?
Yeah. And I'd like to say that she gets her ass kicked over there, but she doesn't. She usually does pretty good. So,
Alan, you don't have to get me any presents. If you could just, like, do some work around the house for me, I'd love that.
Oh, I do a ton of stuff for her.
We haven't cleaned the basement bathroom in 14 years.
Well, this goes right into, actually, perfect segue for the present I got her.
Okay.
Because I got her fiberware stuff for her new cookware. The other thing I got for her, and I got a gift card from work. An Amazon gift card from work, $25 gift card, and I used it for a toilet seat because that's what I got her because the bathroom in the basement doesn't have, you know, it's been there forever. And it's just like, all right, it just needs a new one. And it's the kids are there, so when they come, they slam it, and it doesn't have the slow close on it. So I bought her a slow close one so it doesn't slam down so hard anymore when the kids are over. So I sent a message to my bosses thanking them. I said, look, I want to thank you. I said, I got this great present for all of us. It's going to have many years of use, and I will think of you every time I use it. And that's what it is. It's a toilet seat.
It's kind of a shitty gift.
So I ordered my wife a special gift that had to be special ordered out of Hong Kong. About 8 days ago, a ship coming from Hong Kong and China partially capsized in the Pacific Ocean, and 120
containers.
Of the containers were lost. I got an email literally 24 hours later saying that my delivery was delayed because it was lost at sea.
Well, the way it was vibrating, it wasn't going to get through in port anyway.
So I was thinking, oh boy, I must not be getting it till Christmas time. They gave me until after Christmas. I got this vision that, okay, there's going to be nothing. Yesterday, there's two boxes on the front porch, and they're both from the same company because it comes in two components.
Soaking wet?
Nope, they were completely dry. And I'm looking at
that's funny. They got a big magnet down the ship. They're just pulling everything back up with like a claw machine.
So the way the mailman left it on the front porch, the boxes look pristine. I pick it up and go, well, this doesn't seem right. I turn around and on the one box, the big box is probably 1.5 feet by a foot wide. There's probably a 7-inch gaping hole on the other side of the box. What the fuck? The second box is smaller, but the whole bottom corner is crushed up like it's normally about 4 or 5 inches deep. It's about 3 inches deep on the one corner. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
How did whatever was in the box not fall out of the hole?
I have no idea.
Did she love the present?
Yes.
Excellent.
And then the first one, which was the smaller one, was a series of hot sauces and stuff. And I thought, the way this thing's crushed, it's going to be hot sauce everywhere. Not a single drop leaked.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Put that on your review. Great shipping.
Personally, I think it was the postal service that fucked it up. Yeah. But
my brother was just talking about that because his son has been doing these samples from around the world, like snacks from around the world. So you can do this snack of the month club
some
type
of those
deal.
Are pretty scary.
Yeah. So he's been doing this, and my brother's like, "What the hell?" Because now his son got sick, you know, not
don't
COVID
eat
sick.
The bat from Wuhan.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, "Well, you're complaining about not being well and being tired. Stop eating this shit from all over the world right now. You don't know what's going on with it." So, you know, but he's all karma's always been an in-your-face kind of guy when it comes to stuff like that.
Adventurous. He's adventurous.
Yeah, he really is. That's what they've been doing. Everybody else have a good Christmas? Yes?
Oh, yeah. I'm not allowed to buy anything for the kitchen or anything with an electric plug. Anything that plugs into the wall. So
those seem like strange. Like, what about a lamp? Or just not kitchen stuff? Nothing with a plug?
Nothing that plugs into the wall. So she got slippers and a dildo.
Now, the dildo that was recently purchased at our house does require an AC attachment.
Oh, my.
That's funny.
But now that's waterlogged with seawater, so it's only going to last another day or two.
It's been in worse places.
There was an old joke about slippers and a dildo, and I can't remember it.
That was it. That's the joke.
But there's another one I remember.
Jesus, Alan, try and keep up, will you?
No, there's...
You're older than us. You should know the old jokes better than we do.
Especially since that was his job for a while.
It was a rich guy. You know, a rich guy's talking to an old, you know, a poor guy, and the poor guy says, hey, what'd you get your wife for Christmas? He said, well, I got her a tennis bracelet and a Mercedes. He says, wow, that's beautiful. He's like, well, why'd you get her both those? He's like, well, if she doesn't like the tennis bracelet, she can get in the car and return it. So the poor guy says, well, what'd you get your wife? He said, I got her slippers and a dildo. He said, well, that's strange. What'd you get her that for? He's like, if she doesn't like the slippers, she can go F herself.
That's exactly the joke I was referencing.
It's a great joke.
And I already gave the punchline.
I went, but I had to give the people a little more of it then.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people don't know that joke.
Thanks for the cleanup, bud.
Someone's still hungover from their three-day Christmas bender.
I'm drinking more of these Pabst Blue Ribbon cold brews. I got turned on to those, what, a week ago? 2 weeks ago? It was delicious. The hell day is it?
Where am I?
Good times.
Walden, are you ever coming back to our studio?
I don't know. This I kind of like this setup.
You do. I'm the one who has to edit it.
There's definitely enough room in the studio, though. You can be in your own little room over there, Walden.
I have a 50-foot mic cable. You can sit all the way over there on the couch.
Yeah, then we can throw shit at you.
Have you guys handled the pandemics so far without being entirely too bored?
Oh, I've always got stuff to do.
I had pandemic boredom early on. I like to read a lot. However, I got bored of reading in old April.
Mm-hmm.
And so my normal output's 10 to 12 books a month. I read 4. And there was a time I wasn't really doing much of anything. But at least it was more productive than teaching your dog to talk. Oh, I can't continue reading it because there's a paywall. There are plenty of reasons why we talk to our pets. Some research suggests our chattiness can be motivated by loneliness, a need to feel control over the dynamic of our relationship with them, or even just our perception of animal consciousness. It's likely that most pet owners would simply feel weird not greeting their wagging puppy at the door. Doesn't the puppy meet you at the door?
Yes.
Well, if you're both meeting at the door, then it's mutual.
Okay.
Consensual?
Okay. No. No. Is it with or without the peanut butter?
Look, Bella, let me probably tell you about this dumb thing my wife did.
Okay.
This is the craziest thing. This was weeks ago now. She opens up this package from Amazon and says, look what I bought for the dogs. And it's these plastic pads. They're textured like a boot tray would be. And they have suction cups on the back so you can stick them on the wall. I said, what are these for? And she said, you put peanut butter on them and they're for the dog to lick off. You stick it on the wall and it gives the dog like an activity and they get a snack.
Oh, great. After you spent all those years training the dog to lick the peanut butter, now you're going to have them lick it off the wall?
Right. I said, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen. Have you not heard of a plate? She paid like $10 a piece for 3 of these things. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's insane.
Well, your one dog will walk straight into the wall before it finds it.
Yeah. And
you know, I was going to say, your dogs are so old. What's the point at this stage?
What you're training the dog is, this is the part of the wall that tastes like peanut butter.
With the cone on.
That just makes it fun for me.
When we had our first dog, we had to have knee surgery because it had a, I'm going to be all medically here, had a luxated patella.
Ew, gross, ew.
Football players know what that is. It's when your kneecap slides off to the side of your knee.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. So we had to have surgery.
That was the sound of Rich for the dog a little bit.
And so she had to wear the cone of shame. I tried to draw a face on it, and it didn't come out so well. Two things happened. The first day we got her back from the vet, she's all looped up still, and she's got her cone, and she always had this spot on the couch she liked to lay. Well, she can't jump, so I pick her up and put her on the couch. She looks at me and slid right off the fucking couch. And just lay there on the ground like, how the fuck did I get here?
Why am I wearing a lampshade?
Exactly. The next day, we brought her over to my mom and dad's house. And she walked down the sidewalk, no problem. She walks up the sidewalk and walks straight into the bottom step.
Okay, our dog, Chuck Norris, had to wear one of those cones. He had a hot spot, which isn't as fun as it sounds.
Menopause.
Yeah. It might have been. He's 8 years old. He's getting there in years. He had a hot spot, and it's like an irritation, and he chews at it until it's raw. So we had to go to the vet, get a medicine to clear up the hot spot, make that spot taste bad so he won't eat it. And then he was, we have to tranquilize him every time we take him to the vet because he's terrified. Like, he screams like a six-year-old girl. It's incredible.
Does he go from rough, rough to
yes. Yes. Wow. Craig, my hand to God, the next time we take him to the vet, I'm going to get $10,000 for the video. It's amazing. Like, my wife took him the first couple of times and she told me about it. I didn't believe her. Then I took him the last time, and I couldn't believe it myself looking at it. So anyway, this idiot's got the huge cone because he's a big dog. And every time he walks up the stairs, half tranquilized, he's catching the cone on the step as he walks. And eventually he just popped the damn thing off.
He did it on purpose.
He didn't do it on purpose. He's not smart enough to figure that out. It happened on accident.
I got to tell you, when I came to your house, you have three dogs. The one dog barked at me but didn't look at me. Like, you have an autistic barking dog.
What do you mean, Craig? We call him Rain Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the other dog.
An excellent barker.
Not yeah. Chuck Norris, but the other dog barked at me too. Then Chuck Norris barked at both other dogs, looked at me, and then barked at the dogs again. Like, it was the weirdest thing.
Who's in charge of the dogs over there? I mean, which is the alpha dog?
Well, we have Tori. She's the oldest. She's half lab, half beagle.
She's the one that was barking past me as I was standing at the door.
She has cataracts, so she was looking at you with peripheral vision.
Okay.
And then PetSmart sucks.
Walden, ladies and gentlemen. Always adding good stuff to the conversation.
My dogs don't wear underwear. And then we have Rocky, and he is half Tory and half sneaky neighbor dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rescues that we got together from Tennessee. So they bark with a drawl.
And a little bit slower.
A little bit slow. I just found the paperwork. We adopted them in 2012. And Tori was 4 to 6 years old when we adopted her. So
she's like 12 to 15 years old.
She's a very old dog.
Yeah.
No, she's 16 to 18 years old.
Wow.
2012 is 8 years ago. And you said she was 4 to 6.
Right.
So that's 12 to 14.
Anyway, so.
That's the hell out of that, Craig.
Yeah.
Better than Rich did.
Yeah.
His eyes just surely went in both directions. He went all Marty Feldman on that one.
He looked like his dog with cataracts.
This way you can see both of us.
Yeah.
2008.
Okay.
Not 2012.
Okay. You said 2012, so.
Okay. I misspoke. It was 12 years ago.
Okay.
So she's very old, and that's why she has cataracts and won't look at you directly.
But she barks.
Yes, definitely. Oh, they all bark. That's all they're good for.
And poop.
And then Chuck Norris is another rescue.
He's a beast.
He is supposed to be a 70-pound dog because we met the mom, and she's 60, 70 pounds. They said he probably the puppies probably won't get much bigger than she is. Well, he's gigantic.
He's about 100 pounds?
He's at least 110. Last time we weighed him, he's probably closer to 120. So a friend of ours adopted his brother from the same litter, and she paid for the DNA test. And it turns out they're part lab, but they're also part Great Pyrenees.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
So that's why he turned out so much larger than mom. Apparently, dad was a big dog, but because it's a rescue, we just didn't know that.
Matt, why don't you go Pyrenees? All right.
Is there a Colin Kaepernick joke there somewhere? I guess not. Okay. Why are we talking about my dogs again?
Because we're talking about this article that won't let me read the whole thing.
Oh, my dogs can talk.
Did you see on Facebook there has been an ad lately about a collar that every time your dog barks, it utters the collar, shouts out a F-bomb or other colorful language.
But I want one now.
Yeah, I know.
For me. Anyway, my dogs can talk. Chuck Norris will... I mean, he's clearly the inspiration for Scooby-Doo.
Did you go, hmm?
No, he doesn't do that. And if you're playing catch with the dogs, Rocky will start barking and jumping backwards at the same time, like one of those little...
Oh, the toy dogs?
Yeah. You've seen them do that. He does it like a dog that's weighed like 5 pounds. It's amazing.
Bark, 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 bark. I scared our dog the other day. You've seen how big our dog is, how big Stella is. Yeah. She's not big compared to your dogs, but she did all cat reflexes. She went straight up in the air and backwards in the same movement. It was a 90-degree shift.
So there was a spider.
I come up behind her while she was drinking water, and I went, rah, and she went, boom, boom.
She get that dog a cape. She can fly.
Wendy goes, why does this dog like not like you? She either loves me or she wants something to do with me. I go, I don't know. I talk to her all day when I'm home alone, and she never answers me, so I yell at her.
Shut up, Stella. Shut up, Stella.
I'll read something I've written. I go, what do you think of that? You're no fucking help.
When she starts helping, that's when you need to be worried.
Yep. When she says, roll that incredible bean footage.
So the dogs in the article aren't actually speaking. They have these little buttons that they step on, and the button says the word.
So it's like Coco, the gorilla.
No, Coco did sign language. These dogs can't do sign language. They
no pulls and bumps.
I just watched Mr. Rogers with Coco.
Really?
Yeah, that was actually a whole little... It was actually awesome.
You know what I learned today? Do you guys remember Mr. Dress-Up?
I do not remember Mr. Dress-Up.
Huge pervert.
No.
I don't know Mr. Dress-Up.
No, he was Canadian. You remember him, Walden?
Absolutely. Casey and Finnegan.
Exactly. He got his start as a puppeteer for Mr. Rogers.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep. They were really good friends.
He's a Canadian knockoff.
No, he's actually not Canadian. He's from the United States.
According to my television, he is.
He was born in the United States. He lived all his formative years in the United States, worked in educational broadcasting, and then Mr. Rogers in 1963 got a gig in Canada, which was the precursor to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and he invited Ernie Combs, that was the guy's name, that's Mr. Dressup's real name, to be his puppeteer with him. So they went up, and for 1.5 years, they did a show in Canada called Inner Neighborhood or something like that. I can't remember exactly what the name of it was. And when Mr. Rogers got the deal in Pittsburgh, he invited Ernie to come with him. And he said, no, I got a gig lined up to do here. And he stayed in Canada. He became a Canadian citizen in like 1994. But he was born here and lived here. When he passed, his ashes were spread on his ranch in Maine.
Nice.
Yeah, which everyone knows is in Canada.
Well, kind of, eh? You couldn't get away with having that. You couldn't get away with having a tickle trunk these days, though.
Once.
Megan's Law!
One of the things that, when we get back to a kind of a normal thing, will be Walden going to a Sheetz to get pizza. Am I right?
Or a taco, or a hot dog.
How about sushi?
I'm not a sushi guy.
Hard no.
Hard no?
I would trust Sheetz with fish-based products.
Would you leave it in your refrigerator for 5 days before you ate it?
No.
Okay.
A woman identified...
That's a death sentence.
It is. A woman identified only as JC famished one night after work, came home and found hardly anything to eat in the refrigerator.
Which is her own fault.
Right. So she took a gamble and ate the 5-day-old gas station sushi that had been ripening in her fridge. And boy, did things go south after that.
You had me at 5-day-old sushi.
Aside from tasting a little sour, the sushi went down quickly with a dose of soy sauce, so she's not Canadian.
Because she can't get soy sauce.
Exactly. She's posting on you, look what I have, silly Canucks. Then the symptoms began. Everything started with insomnia, and the woman's sleep issues escalated into anxiety, confusion, plus an elevated heart rate that felt as if it were beating out of her neck. Next came the stomach cramps. She'd feel her stomach jiggle before she went to the bathroom. As time went by, she started suffering from malnutrition, incontinence, hallucination of bugs crawling up the walls and underneath her skins, and bouts of anxiety. If all this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie, that sort of is, because things got worse. Seizures followed. Then there was a barrage of testing until doctors found evidence of tapeworm eggs in her stool, along with broken segments from a tapeworm. This type of tapeworm can grow up to 9 meters long.
What are meters?
Slightly longer.
So 3 feet.
Hey, you skipped over one word.
I'm not saying that.
Oh, two words.
The Diphyllobothrium latum?
Close enough.
That sounds good. I'll give him that. That's impressive.
That was no biogas, but it was
no
bad.
Biogas. Yeah. Apparently, these tapeworms really like vitamin B, taking it away from the host, basically starving her of essential nutrients, which are key for cellular and nervous function. After so much agonizing, she was given a dose of something. An anti-worm medication, and she made a full recovery.
Praziquantel.
So, yeah, she had hallucinations. How long was she sick for?
The whole time.
Yeah.
How much weight did she lose? Because we might be onto something here.
I've always wanted to go on the tapeworm diet.
Yes.
The problem is getting the tapeworm. It's got to be disgusting. There's no effective way to do it except, you know, going to India and drinking from a puddle or something.
Or going gas to a station. Gas and sushi, yeah, or gas station pickled sushi. Beef in Prince Edward Island.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so there's a plethora of ways to get a nice tapeworm. My wheels are spinning. Wheels are spinning over here.
Just on plethora.
Yeah.
It's like the dented can thing. Unless you actually dented the can by throwing it on the floor at the grocery store, don't take the dented can. Because it could have something in there and it's...
Botulism.
Yep.
Botulism, yeah.
But the key with the dented cans, and you got to make sure it's not dented on the seam. That's really where you get the problem.
It doesn't matter
from.
Where it's dented, because it could create a hole for fungus and botulism and things like that to get in. There's no good place for a hole in a can.
But if you make
unlike the hole in the box.
But you can do anything through the hole in the sheet.
How very Mormon of you.
Have you watched Letterkenny yet?
I have it.
Oh, my God.
Because it's on the Hulu.
You got to hurry up because the new season is coming out today.
I just saw
December
preview.
26th.
Wow.
After Christmas.
I got to get on the
Hulu. A couple days ago.
Are we portraying it as now?
Yes.
It's out. You should watch it.
I can't believe the new season. How many seasons are there now so far? Do I got to catch up on?
Seven. This will be season eight.
Eight, yeah.
Yeah, I got to work on getting Hulu. But I got Pluto, Netflix, and Prime. How much more do I need?
Pitter patter.
Tubi. I got Tubi.
To be sure.
I'll be sure.
I watched.
Ooh, I got that reference.
I watched the sneak preview that they put out over the weekend.
Yeah.
Letterkenny.
It's crazy.
It is. It's pretty wild. I can't wait. I have no idea how those three sitting at the kitchen table, dining room table, can remember all those lines like that. It's got to be a lot of editing together.
There's no room for a cue card guy either.
No, it's different camera angles, so I think they're busting it out and then edit, cut to another camera, say it.
I'm sure there's multiple takes.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Pitter patter. Get that man of puppers.
Put your finger out of your head.
Letterkenny, and I'm still trying to do some stuff with Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek.
So I watched like three episodes of that today.
Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
The first three episodes are eh.
Well, that's actually so, yeah, because I did watch those 3 months ago, and then I skipped ahead to like a turkey. I mean, the first one I watched after going through was like Turkey Hunt.
Oh, my God.
Where he went on. So, so I can see some appeal. That is kind of funny.
It gets Jesus, funnier. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
It definitely gets funnier.
It does. So I'll give it the old college try on that one. But you know what? I keep going back to Scrubs.
I love Dr. Elliot.
Yeah. And I'm getting back to season. I think
I would
I'm
do naughty,
eight.
Naughty things the second Becky.
Yeah. She just went in there seamlessly, didn't she? Didn't they make it? They did make a joke about, oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different.
Yeah. And then they put both Beckys on the Connors or whatever, the Roseanne, the reboot thing. Yeah. So they had them both on there.
For as the same character?
Yeah.
Interchangeable?
It'd be funny, yeah.
That is funny. But I never watched that show. When it first came out, that Roseanne, or with a new one, whatever it is, they just try to hit every demographic that they could get. They had, you know, the transgender kid, or the kid who wanted to wear whatever he wanted to wear, a skirt to school. Then interracial relationship, gay, every different politics. So they just hit everybody all at once. It was just too much overload for me. I'm like, ah, this is crazy. So I didn't watch it. One episode and I was done. Roseanne.
Everybody except fat women who like Trump.
Yeah.
They're not allowed.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm not wrong.
And while we're ending 2020 under a pandemic, there's more pandemic news. Alice Little, America's highest paid sex worker, is suing over lost wages from the lockdown. A woman who claims to be the highest earning sex worker in the world is suing over lost wages. U.S. porn star Alice Little is suing the state of Nevada in a bid to force the reopening of brothels amid the COVID-19 pandemic. I've never heard of her. Does she have a cam show? Because Matt told me all about cam shows.
You're being so coy.
But if she's talking about brothels, I mean, she's actually...
Yeah, she's an actual sex worker. She's not a porn star.
Yeah.
The lawsuit comes after the state's governor excluded brothels from reopening as part of phase two reopening efforts in May, according to reports in the New York Post. The 30-year-old sex worker hit back against the move. In a press release, she said the governor's decision to keep brothels closed is just blatant discrimination against Nevada's legal sex workers. That's right. Unless you're in Las Vegas, you can be a sex worker and it's legal. So Clark County, because of the population, does not have legal prostitution. That's just... That's,
I'm going to move out that way so I can be one of them there gigolos. Sell my body.
I'm just a gigolo and everywhere I...
People know the part Al's playing. Pay for every dance. Selling each romance. I used to sing that song at the Best Western. Do you remember the Best Western over here in Lockport? They used to do karaoke nights. And one time I sang that song and I think I came out with $3.25 in my drawers. Just getting all sorts of loot.
Who put the quarter in?
Everybody.
If I was ever referred to as a gigolo, it was because somebody was making a jiggle joke.
I remember the karaoke nights there. We were there for another party. I think it was Halloween night, or the night of the Halloween party that they were having there. So right around the end of October. And Wendy and I went, I dressed up as a woman and we went as a lesbian couple, and we won.
Nice.
Best costume contest.
Very progressive.
Yeah. How'd you pull it off with the beard?
I didn't have the beard then. I couldn't grow facial hair.
We were talking about Wendy.
Because it's ladies' night.
Nobody? How'd you pull it off with the beard? You were talking about Wendy? Nobody?
I got it.
Oh, jeez.
Sometimes you just got to roll with them.
And then they had karaoke right after the end of the party.
The contest.
So this guy who I knew, and I think, this guy's a goofball. Why is he signing up for karaoke? I've heard him talk. He can barely speak a complete sentence.
And he crushed it.
Crushed it. Charlie Daniels was going, damn.
Was it Grimace?
No.
Brad?
No.
Okay. Because he was twisted out of his gourd, or he just stuttered sang like Jim Nabors?
Jim Nabors could speak fine, couldn't he?
No, he stuttered.
Golly.
He was a stutterer.
Really?
But he put a microphone in his hand to sing, and he could sing.
It's like Mel Tillis.
Yeah. Which is peculiar. Isn't that a peculiar kind of disease?
I don't know.
It's very strange how that happens.
We had a question in my house a couple days before Christmas. My daughter came in with new boots, and she goes, these boots are made for walking. And I go, I'll give you an extra Christmas gift if you can tell me who sang that song. My wife goes, Reba. I'm like, what the fuck? No.
Oh.
And one of the other girls goes, oh, it was probably Carrie Underwood. No, but I'd let her walk on me. But no. We went through all these. It was...
Everybody who's remade it.
Right. I think at one point they were, what is it? Tanya Tucker. I'm like, it was definitely not Tanya Tucker. I don't think she ever even sang the damn song.
Mm-hmm.
I go, she had a super famous father. And someone said, Pam Tillis. I'm like, good God. No.
Justin Bieber.
And then one of the girls goes, it was Jessica Simpson, and walked out of the room. Technically.
Carrie Fisher. She had a famous mom.
But it was our girl Nancy, right?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Nancy Sinatra. And I have.
You met her, right?
Nancy and I go way back. But I actually have her her issue of her on in Playboy magazine where she was on the cover.
She was on the cover?
Yeah.
Was she naked?
Pretty, yeah.
Okay.
Tastefully naked.
She wasn't like Vanna White naked.
No.
Because Vanna White naked was not naked.
Yeah. So, she, no, you can see stuff, but she had boots on. She had, I think, the white, that patenty leather go-go boot, you know, because of obviously the song. So I got to find that. I don't even know where that stuff is.
A couple of weeks ago was my birthday. It was Richard's birthday a couple of weeks ago, too.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
One of the coolest things I got to do for my birthday, one of the things I really, really looked forward to, was I wanted to watch The Doors movie. Now, I love the music. The story's weird as all get out, but I had the full thing on surround sound. It was awesome. The kids were at school because my wife will not let me watch that movie when the girls are around because it is not appropriate for them.
Is it raunchy?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Meg Ryan topless was really disappointing.
No. For real?
She gives them a blowjob while they're recording the Soft Parade.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a movie that
which makes it contradictory.
You talk about the Go-Go.
Those TV late night movies that they used to show on Canadian TV uncensored.
Do you get to see the boobies then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the boobies and the soft porn.
That's my whole Shannon Tweed thing started because of late night television, Canadian television.
Oh.
But you talk about Go-Go boots, the Go-Go dancers at the Whiskey A Go-Go, who are topless, by the way, while they're dancing to the music. It's pretty awesome.
Really? I got to watch that movie then.
I have it on Blu-ray, and you can watch it in full surround sound glory.
Ooh, then I got to watch it.
And you don't have kids, so you can watch it anytime you want.
Anytime I want, I can watch that. Put it in the, what do I got, the Denon surround sound? Just plug it. Even though I think I screwed that up when I hooked it up, because this speaker's supposed to be over here, and that speaker's supposed to be over there.
Just turn around.
That, yeah.
And the neighbors are all pissed. They're like, what's all the noise?
Who do I know when I'm watching it? I figured out when I was watching, is it TMX where they got that little guy that comes up and they go to and he fixes all the speakers? That
THX
little robot
thing or whatever?
Yeah, THX. That's how I figured it out because when he's over this way, I can hear that speaker going. You know, so I got to figure out how to put that back together.
It really fucks him up when he's listening to Bohemian Rhapsody.
They're everywhere.
I like it when I first set it up. I think one of the first movies I watched was Pearl Harbor because I got the movie as a gift because my birthday's on Pearl Harbor Day, and the people thought that it would be a great idea to give me a movie that took place on December 7th. First of all, I can't stand Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. The best part of the movie was when Ben Affleck died. The worst part of the movie is when he came back to life. But during the battle scenes, and you could hear the battle go around the room, that was pretty cool. And then I go, oh, you know what? I have Gettysburg. And the cannonade before they start Pickett's charge literally shook each side of the room. Like, some of the cannons are only coming out of the right side. Some are coming out of the left. And you hear them coming out of both sides at once. It's really wild how they did it.
I'll have to listen to that. Because I think the first movie I watched when I had the whole surround sound set up was Top Gun, because I'm Googling what are the best movies. So, and then there was a Spider-Man movie. I think Spider-Man 3 was one that everybody says, if you got the surround sound, then this is the greatest one. And I'm like an old-time Peter Parker one. You know, they got they come out with a Spider-Man every 2 years now, so I don't even watch any. But I did. Top Gun was my first one.
That was like when I got the first flat-screen television that we got in our house. Well, the only one, because we still have it. And at that time, it was huge, you know? And now that's tiny. But they said one of the movies you should watch because of the graphics and stuff is The Last Airbender. They didn't say...
Love that movie.
Really? I thought it was terrible.
Really? With the kid?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Isn't it a cartoon?
There's a cartoon
version
also,
of it,
yeah.
But that's on... that's either on Pluto or Tubi. I liked the movie. I liked the kid, you know, and I did. I enjoyed the movie. Because there were cool graphics.
I got three copies of Avatar because someone said, oh, you got that new TV here and the surround sound? Here's Avatar. I'm like, I already have copies, but I don't want it anyway. I haven't watched it. I have no idea.
I know, with the blue people?
Yeah.
I never watched it.
And they're not Smurfs.
They're long Smurfs.
I did watch The Italian Job in surround sound when they're racing through the streets.
All the little minis?
Yes.
Yeah, that was
wild.
Cool.
Those are Smurfy.
Yes. You know, there's that rail that we try to stay near. I don't even know where the fuck it's at right now. We're so far off the rails.
What rail?
Yeah. So pick a next story here, Rich. Or since we're already at 45 minutes, we go right to the Canada watch.
No, because I really want to hear this. So apparently Netflix is going to have a new special coming out featuring an Oscar winner hosting a 6-episode comedic docuseries called History of Swear Words. Each installment will examine the origins, usage, and cultural impact of a specific curse. Fuck, shit, bitch, dick, pussy, and damn. That Oscar winner that they selected to host is none other than the illustrious Nick Cage. Which means we're going to get to hear
this
Nick
is
Cage
not so Superman
say all these words.
I'm very underwhelmed by all this so far. You had me, but now Nick Cage, come on.
Okay, I saw Nick Cage on television
Fuck.
About a month and a half ago, and he's got a beard that is definitely mostly gray. I'm looking at this picture, and when he's looking at beer, and that fucking beard is black. Like, he went for the Italian Just for Men version.
There's a second picture of him.
You know what I'm saying, Al?
Yeah, of course I do.
There's a second picture of him in the same article, and they're two different color beards.
Yeah.
And I like Nick Cage. I'm going to say I do like him, but for something like this, I wouldn't want to see him. I don't think he'd be good for this as a host.
Now, he's going to determine the history of these words by finding a series of clues on historic monuments and relics.
See, have you ever seen the
funny
comedian? Yeah. It's up George Washington's nose on Mount Rushmore.
The time Thomas Jefferson said, dick.
There's a comedian on YouTube. You can see it. The guy goes over the word shit, and he goes, my shit is cool, your shit is bad. And so he's using shit in different. Sometimes it's the verb.
Well, that's a George.
But that's George Carlin bit.
This is a guy who's learning the language. He's brilliantly awesome. He does the same thing with fuck also.
Okay.
Or ass. I think he does all three words.
I think I saw one of those. I do remember seeing that now.
Hilarious. But Nick Cage.
In case you're wondering how in the name of Zeus's butthole this show came to be, it comes from Funny or Die and Industrial Media's B17 Entertainment. It's going to feature 20-minute episodes with guest celebrity hosts, including Nikki Glaser, Nick Offerman,
yes,
Sarah Silverman, and a bunch of other people I don't give a fuck about.
I think last episode we said something about Anne Hathaway, right, and her boobs. Sarah Silverman. Incredibly beautiful.
She got a little wacky, politically wacky for me, and it just kind of changed my view of her.
Yeah, I don't care what celebrities' opinions of politics are.
I don't care. I just think that I just like her.
She's a cute girl. She's very attractive. She is funny. She was she started some of her bit character stuff on the show Monk. Do you remember Monk?
Yep.
So she was on that as she was like a Monk.
You know who
fan.
Else I like, and it's not a very popular opinion these days. Chelsea Handler, love her.
There was actually, I got in trouble once because there was a person in Los Angeles with my name, and it talked about wanting to do all these things to Chelsea Handler, and it was just all just very vulgar stuff. And, you know, my girlfriend at the time, she's like, did you write this? And I'm like, no. No, I didn't.
Heard you say all of these things.
First of all, I wouldn't write something like that just on the internet. I mean, do I disagree with all the things that were said? No, but it's... I didn't write it, you know? And then you go through and then you click on the guy's name and you can follow back to some guy in California. But yeah, it wasn't me.
Women in comedy have it way harder than men in comedy because women don't get taken seriously. And to be a celebrity, the likes of Sarah Silverman or Chelsea Handler, you got to work your ass off.
Or Kathleen Madigan.
Oh, I love her too, yeah.
She's funny. She cracks me up. And then who else? Who was your girl? Chuck Schumer's niece. Was Amy Schumer?
I'm not a big fan of her.
She has one joke that did make me laugh, though. She's like, I had sex last night a different way. Consensual. And so that made me laugh. So she does some stuff, you know, and I mean, she helps with some of the like female body image stuff and things like that. But she does a couple good things that I like. But that Kathleen Madigan, she's funny.
I can't stand it when people don't like Amy Schumer because they think she's fat or overweight. That has nothing to do with her comedy.
Yeah. And for me, female comics, I do like them. Like, that's why I like Kathleen Madigan, because she talks about stuff that I can relate to.
Who's that chick from the Ghostbusters movies? Is it Leslie Jones?
She was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Love her. She's fantastic.
Really?
Yes.
As a stand-up? I've never seen her do stand-up.
As a stand-up, yes. There's a couple videos out there. Her stuff on Saturday Night Live was eh, except when they're Naked and Afraid in the Woods with...
Yeah, Naked and Afraid in the Woods was funny. That was a good bit with her in it.
I did not see that one.
Oh, yeah, because she was with...
Here's my number.
What was his name from Game of Thrones?
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage, yes.
So they were Naked and Afraid. That was a funny...
It
that
was hilarious.
It was probably her idea.
There's another comedian, I don't even remember her name, but she was a Los Angeles Raider cheerleader. And she has a bit about going to the nail salons and stuff. And she does a spot on like Vietnamese accent. And it was just, that was funny.
Did you see the interview that Peter Dinklage did about that Saturday Night Live episode? Mm-mm. He goes, we went out in the woods to film and we had this flesh colored stuff they were supposed to wear so it looked like we were totally naked. Leslie was completely naked.
Unashamed, not bashful.
No. Yeah, another funny celebrity who isn't technically a comedian is Lake Bell.
I love her.
I've heard her interviewed on several podcasts, and she is fucking hysterical. She did two of the funniest jokes I've ever heard. The first one was they were talking about how she just had a kid, and the interviewer said, so I understand you're... It was right before she was... It was before she gave birth. The interviewer said something about her being pregnant, and was her husband excited? And she went, yeah, yeah, we did it in the front. And she kept talking. It's just like, holy shit, where did that come from? And then she was talking about somebody else being pregnant, and she said, yeah, every time one of my friends tell me, you know, the couples announce that they're going to have a baby, my reaction is always, oh, you guys been fucking? Hilarious. But technically, she's an actress, not a comedian.
She was on Boston Legal.
I don't know. She's been in several movies I've seen.
Okay.
But nothing.
She's very pretty,
no TV
too.
Shows.
Boston Legal's a brilliant show, too. I love that show. It's what I want. Just somebody at the end of the day to have a cigar and a glass of scotch with and just recap the day. Be perfect.
Yeah.
Sitting on the balcony of a high rise.
Yeah, exactly. With Captain Kirk and Daniel Jackson.
Got the mad cow. Sorry.
I don't know what you're referencing. I'm just kind of going with it.
That's just fun. It was just
I never watched that show.
Really?
I think you would like that, I think. I think it's a fantastic show.
I just watched Designated Survivor.
Pretty awesome, isn't it?
That was a great show.
That's on, I think I just saw, is that Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Yeah, the third season, there was two seasons on network television. They canceled it, and then Netflix brought it back for a third and final season.
I didn't know. So I'm watching the show, and all of a sudden they're dropping F-bombs. I'm like, wait, what just happened? Because I remember seeing it advertised on network television. I think it was on ABC.
Right. ABC, yeah.
So the first two seasons are not F-bombs, and then the third season is just they let loose?
Yeah. There's no warning, nothing. It was amazing. So I'm like, all right, well, if they're swearing, that means they're going to start fucking. There's going to be like nudity and stuff. None.
They could have. His wife was kind of hot.
There were several members of the cast that I think the world wanted to see naked. But there was none of it. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, the wife was on Californication. I was trying to remember where I saw her on before that.
Who hasn't been, though?
I don't know. I started watching
It's like Showtime's L.A. Law.
Californication, I know a lot of people said, you got to watch this, you got to watch this. I watched the first season and said, yeah, I've had enough. I just didn't get it.
I'm kind of the same way. Everybody's told me to watch it, but I never even watched one episode.
I can't watch David Duchovny because he's always playing David Duchovny.
There's not a lot of depth there. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Is he the guy from that?
X-Files.
X-Files, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay.
We didn't watch for him.
He did a Showtime series called Red Shoe Diaries, which is basically Californication on a different network, I guess. So he just bangs all the women that come through.
Have you watched Santa Clarita Diet?
I won't.
You don't like zombies, I know.
Correct.
That's a zombie movie?
It's a television show. I think Timothy Olyphant and Drew Barrymore. He is awesome. Did you watch Justified?
No. I think Drew Barrymore is overrated. Overrated, thank you. Yeah, she's just... I get it that she was cute in E.T. as a little kid, and now she's...
And then her Adam Sandler movies, she was always good in those.
She was evil in Stephen King's Firestarter.
Yes.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, she was little then.
Yep.
She's not bringing anything new to the table. And
what about her talk show?
I haven't watched it, and I'm not judging it because I haven't seen it, but it doesn't sound like a great concept to me. Mm-hmm. So maybe she's bringing more to the table than I know about. I don't know. I can't bring myself to watch daytime television.
A guy that we mutually know worked on a film set that Tom Green was part of the film.
Ugh, ugh.
Yeah, I can't stand Tom
Green. They were together for a while.
They were married at the time that this movie was going on. And our mutual friend was told by the set director to go to the airport to pick up Mr. Green's wife. And it was Drew Barrymore. She sat in the front seat, even though they had the car where she was supposed to sit in the back, and just talked BS for the 45-minute ride back to the movie set like a normal person.
Well, yeah, she's
and, like, she's totally down to earth and really sweet.
She's a hippie. She's very relatable as a person, but I don't understand why she's still a celebrity. She's, like David Duchovny, she's always playing herself.
Right.
So
my cousin actually flew her, and she found out. She didn't know she can fly?
That's amazing.
She didn't know she was actually getting divorced when Tom Green announced the divorce. Like, he didn't talk to her about it. He just went public with the divorce before even talking to her about it. So when my cousin Sandy was flying her, she's reading like a public statement from Tom Green and says, well, apparently my husband's divorcing me. So my cousin Sandy and her found out at the same time before Tom Green went through and announced it.
Tom Green figured it's the only way anybody's going to hear about it because nobody listens to Tom Green.
I think I said that before. I mean, when he was in that movie, Freddy Got Fingered, I never walked. It was the stupidest thing. I think I watched 10 minutes of that.
I don't think this is horrible.
I think he's horrible. I don't think he's funny at all.
That movie was an atrocity.
Yeah.
It was nothing less than literally an atrocity.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even talk on it because I literally saw 10 minutes.
He has done some really funny stuff, but it gets lost in the horrible shit that falls in the blender along with it.
And I think that's what it is, because I think he could be talented. I mean, he's got a funny look to him. He's got some good comic timing, but I can't stomach him.
Have you seen his webcast?
No.
He does like a Tonight Show, Johnny Carson style from his living room. He's got a desk in front of his fireplace. He's got chairs that
I would probably enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's Tom Green. Like, he's been prepared.
Is Glenn Homblick there?
What's that?
Is Glenn Homblick there?
I don't remember. I haven't seen it in years. But he's been doing it like the whole time.
Look at him smiling. Look at his little smiling face over there. He's just so happy in his little COVID-free living room.
I just like saying Glenn Humplick.
Like Engelbert Humperdinck.
But better.
Yes.
So, Rich.
Yeah, the Tom Green Show was awesome. Back
really? And he's Canadian, right?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Canada.
What? No, it's too soon.
Not too soon.
No. It's too soon.
No, it's not.
All right. Cue the music.
I always wanted to say that. I'm sorry.
I can give you a turn. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm good.
No, say it.
Say the line! Cue the music! A lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure on me.
All right, now play the fucking music, will you?
Canada Watch.
Your listening pleasure is Canada Watch.
Smell like pine trees in moose piss.
Canada Watch. Your furry hat matches your furry underpants. It's a design flaw, or you need a trim?
Canada Watch.
Do you smell like beaver dams and old toes?
Canada Watch.
Your uncle looks suspiciously like an elk.
Canada Watch.
Sure does get lonely up there in the Yukon.
Canada Watch.
We have the polar bears and the milk in the bag, y'all. Canada Watch.
Hey, Gord. We still like you, though.
Canada Watch.
It's done.
What?
Yeah.
Did you guys hear it?
I did not hear it.
I played the dog whistle version.
That must be why I peed on myself.
That's why Rich's dogs are howling in unison right now.
Wherever they are. So, Canadians are closing out the year 2020 in style. Local advertising agency has released its own festive take on the fireplace channel with an hour-long video of a dumpster fire.
The fireplace channel?
Yeah.
Sponsored by the Kentucky Fried Chicken log?
Maybe. There's several of them. My favorite is definitely Nick Offerman.
Offerman.
Offerman sitting by the fire holding a glass of...
Cognac.
No, that really expensive scotch that he sells.
Water.
No, Lagavulin. Lagavulin scotch. this stuff is super expensive. It's like Macallan level quality stuff. And that's it. He's got a glass of scotch, and he sits by the fire in a leather chair in a suit, and he just drinks the glass and stares at the camera
for an overpriced drink. Is that what you're saying?
It's supposed to be really good stuff.
All I know is that on my birthday, they ran out of beer that I like at the bar, and somebody bought me Maker's Mark and has ruined me.
You're welcome.
Maker's Mark is delicious.
Lovely. They dip it in crayons for a reason.
I had to take out a second mortgage on the house. But
oh, so good.
Yeah, it is really good.
It's not that expensive. There's far more expensive.
But they're not as good.
Like a Macallan, a bottle of Macallan is like $1,000. That's expensive.
I won't be able to do that until my movie gets released.
That's right.
Brown Chicken Brown Cow. Not that type of movie. Good God. I want people to watch the movie.
So this advertising agency has worked with a range of local and international clients over the past 6 years. According to managing partner, the company does something fun and creative for their clients during the holidays every year. This year, she approached the creative team and asked for ideas focusing on the positive things that came out of 2020. They came back with this dumpster fire idea, and it made all of us laugh. We spent time thinking about all the stuff we wanted to burn, what would be funny, and it will become a great team-building moment, as well as something that will just put a smile on all of our faces. So we said, let's just do it. He said there was a lot that went into the planning and executing the video, starting with building the dumpster the fire would burn in. How long a walk does it take to find a dumpster?
They're everywhere.
This seems like overhandling.
Yeah. But they built it. Does that mean the dumpster itself is going to be part of the illusion?
They said it was a little bit trickier than it looks. My dad actually welded the dumpster together for us. It was a custom-made dumpster, which is hilarious. I don't think that's hilarious. That's wasteful and kind of dumb. The custom dumpster, that's kind of fun to say. Custom dumpster. What does that sound like?
It's your new business. What are you doing? My business.
Yeah. Like the t-shirts on Hubie Halloween.
I didn't watch that. Was that any good?
I'm not the number one in my company. I'm the number two.
Hubie Halloween was funny. The funniest part of it was the t-shirts.
I'll have to check it out.
It was. Like
some girl got fired because she was in that. Got fired from a newscaster's position.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because something about you're not supposed to be on something that could be a competitive station. It was really weird. She got fired from her job over it.
Oh, that's crazy.
It is.
But the funniest part for me on it was these two old women were shopping at like Salvation Army for t-shirts, and they were all graphic t-shirts that she bought, you know, and then one of the t-shirts, well, I won't tell you what they say, but they all watch the t-shirts because they're all just funny.
The t-shirts don't say anything.
The t-shirts read.
Anyway, the custom dumpster the custom dumpster was 4 feet by 3 feet and had a grate for airflow. It was set up in a secure area with fire supervision before the team started filming. The hour-long video released last Friday shows, according to the article, shows a man in a plaid shirt hanging stockings on the dumpster and then throwing a variety of 2020-related items into the fire.
As they went all my ballots. Oh.
No politics. As a kid, you watch the fireplace channel and you're like, who's that hand? And we kind of laugh that now it's us. That hand in the video is the agency's creative director. He said, we filmed it for an hour straight and just threw in stuff and watched it burn, which is the point of a dumpster fire, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
These 2020 related item were handpicked. We'll get on with what was in there. Okay, so struggling with puzzles, not wearing ties, the White Claw craze.
It only lasted 3 weeks, and Vinny was all in for those 3 weeks. He kept bringing it to the house, and he goes, here, you can have the rest of it. Dude, why do I have 8 partial 4-packs in my refrigerator? I'm not going to drink this shit.
Yeah, we wound up with a similar situation. I wound up giving them to my aunt.
Yeah, we gave them away to somebody. I can't remember who.
Sourdough starter, a suitcase, canceled plans.
The suitcase reminded the team of canceled plans, especially plans made to visit family and friends in 2020.
So why does dumpster fire sum up 2020 so well? It's an expression that everyone said. Dumpster fire and pivot are two words I never want to hear again, and I don't think anyone else wants to hear for a very long time.
So, is this something that can go along with a website so I can find where this is, or do I just Google Canadian dumpster fire?
There you go. It's in Edmonton, man.
It's on YouTube. AM/FM 2020 Xmas dumpster fire.
All right.
So if the year has really gotten too hard to deal with, you can resort to, according to Health Canada, taking magic mushrooms.
Mm.
4 months after it allowed a handful of palliative care patients to use psilocybin as a way to relieve end-of-life suffering, Health Canada has cleared the way for more than a dozen health professionals to use the psychedelic drug themselves to help further therapies for future use. Health Canada says it granted 16 exemptions to a selection of nurses, doctors, therapists, and social workers to allow them to possess and use psilocybin for personal training without fear of prosecution under the country's drug law.
Which is super weird, because if you watched Goop like I did and Walden did...
Why would you do that?
One of the things on Goop was the use of psychedelic mushrooms for therapy, and Health Canada said, you're out of your fucking mind, basically, during the episode.
Well, you will be. If you take enough
right.
magic mushrooms.
They're saying that that it would be bad and not to do it. But now, 9 months later, 10 months later, I guess it was a year. I guess they started last October. So 13 months, 14 months later, they're saying, oh, yeah, Goop was right. And that's the only time you'll hear that phrase uttered.
Yeah. You get educated, you learn, you make different decisions. What are you going to do? I think it's a good move for them, right?
I guess. But I don't want to give Gwyneth Paltrow any credence.
Doesn't she have a vagina-smelling candle?
Yes.
She has a candle-smelling vagina.
Oh, yeah.
Don't we?
We have tried to purchase it for the studio on several occasions, only to find out that it's still sold out.
That's funny.
A single dose of the psychedelic medicine can have more effect than years of talk therapy or medicine, according to some such. If you look at your default mode network, you will find that the themes that come up are the same themes that came up last year and the year before and the decade before. Psychedelics disassemble the default mode network, and they allow a person to have new experiences in a carefully controlled clinical setting. When the default mode network is put back together, it's not put back together the same way as it was previously.
Okay, look at the picture of the guy who's promoting this. Is that a guy you trust?
He looks like Uncle June from The Sopranos.
He looks like the toy fixer from Toy Story. The old guy that does all the repairs.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
on Woody.
Yep.
Yodeling cowboy.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
So he looks like a cartoon man. Also in Canada this week, woman had enough of having packages stolen off of her porch, so she took a shit in a box, marked it guaranteed on the side, and then left it out front.
It's my shit in a box. Shit in a box, girl.
My brother was actually talking about doing something like this. He said he was going to have his dog's shit packaged up. And he goes, the problem is you got to figure out something to put around it so you can't smell it. Mm-hmm. Because if they smell it as soon as they pick it up, then what's the use? It's got to be a surprise.
Mustard.
Mustard?
Yeah.
You got to figure out a way to make it a party popper situation.
Yes.
That's a glitter bomb because the dog ate glitter.
So this woman's name is Lori Pringle. So you got to start with putting it in a Pringles can.
Yeah.
That should be airtight enough to keep the smell until they open it. So she decided to leave the thieves a smelly surprise and packaged up poop. Does not name the source of the poop in the article, for the record. Could be human poop. Could be dog poop. We don't know.
After a beer bender at Taco Bell.
Oh. Once you poop, you can't stoop.
But she did stoop. She left the package out on her front porch. And within 40 minutes, it was gone. She said, I live on a very busy street downtown. My front door pretty much opens out to a sidewalk. I've had a number of packages stolen in 3 years. As a result, I have a very clear label for all my Amazon packages indicating that they should ring my video doorbell. A couple of the couriers that Amazon uses almost never read the label, so that results in my packages being stolen fairly often.
Oh, tell me about it.
My package is gone.
Oh, my heart bleeds for you, lady.
You should pack up a box of shit and mail it to her to replace the box of shit that was stolen from her. The article reads, package theft isn't that uncommon during the holiday months. No shit, Sherlock. In fact, back in November, the Toronto police put out a public safety alert about a recent increase in package theft in the city. That's it. That's the whole article. That's where it stops. There's no follow-up. That seems like an abrupt ending to me.
Right.
So I saw a video of a guy who was supposedly making this thing that it turned out he had like a sponsorship from a company. So it wasn't really like a homebrew thing like he was alleging. But what he made was extremely cool. So it's a device that you put in a box. It holds two cell phones.
I've seen this.
Yeah? Yeah? Mm-hmm. And as soon as you open the box,
it blows up.
It sets off a glitter bomb.
Right.
And a fart spray aerosol.
And it's all videoed.
And it all gets videoed, and the phone
goes up to a cloud.
The video, and it tells the, it uses the GPS to tell you exactly where the package is. So there's hilarious videos of people opening this thing in their car, in their house, and oh my God, it's so fucking funny. Turns out half of the people that were recorded on the videos were friends of his, so that he could guarantee that he got all the equipment back. So it was fake.
Oh. But I think there was a small percentage of Good Samaritans, too, that, what did they say, like maybe 2 or 3% would just go in just because they didn't want it to get stolen?
Oh, they were giving it back to them?
So they were, yeah, people were pulling them off the porch to give it back to them that didn't really know them, but they were just a Good Samaritan because they know it was like a busy street.
I did not read this article. I saw that it was in Canada, so I have no idea what's coming.
Is this one in Manitoba?
Yeah. So police in Morden have been dealing with an apparent rash of pantlessness despite dropping temperatures in the Manitoba community. Investigators in the town of just over 8,600 people, roughly 103 kilometers, whatever that means, southwest of Winnipeg.
Is that 8,600 people in Canadian?
What's the exchange rate? They say they responded to two reports of men wearing shorts in the span of less than 2 weeks last month, which would be November. In the first incident, reporting in the Morden Police website, police say a caller reported seeing a young male wearing only shorts on November 15th. The tipster told police the half-panted young man had raised suspicion after he was spotted walking toward the river at Morden Park. The police responded and say a resulting investigation found the suspect was doing cold weather training and no charges were laid.
Why the hell would there be charges anyway?
It's not against the law to wear shorts.
It is weird, though, because you have to assume that person is doing something to themselves or in a stupefied condition of some sort that would result in them walking around with just shorts on. And Canadians are always concerned for their neighbors and
their neighbors.
But then another man in shorts was spotted in the community. This time, police were called when someone noticed a suspicious male that was wearing only shorts while walking on Thornhill Street. November 26th. So it's probably not the same guy 11 days later, but maybe. Responding officers located the man who told investigators he was also doing cold weather training. Okay, how does he know that the other guy was cold weather training to be also cold training?
Ooh.
Again, no charges were laid.
What were they training for?
Cold weather.
To be Canadian.
Oh, I gotcha. Floridians making the move.
That's right. That's right. Police records from Environment and Climate Change Canada show the average mean temperature in Morden through November was negative 1.7 C. What does that mean?
From all the movies, I always thought Mordor was a lot warmer.
Mordor is warm.
Okay.
It's got a volcano.
That's what I thought.
Mm.
The ring.
My breath. But this is Morden, which is in Canada, which is cold. They don't have a volcano. That I know of. Do they have a volcano?
Everybody's got a volcano.
Everybody's got a volcano.
Yep.
And you get a volcano, and you get a volcano.
Except for Joe, because he gets the volcano.
He doesn't like the volcano. He's always fighting with it. Anyway, so that's what happened in Canada this week.
Do you have a website for us this week?
Sure. I can just click on one at random. Oh, maybe this will replace dots for you finally.
The polka dot game?
The polka dot game, yes.
I'm up to 40.
Really?
Yeah.
You are dedicating far too much time to that game, sir. No one deserves 40. The website is Cap Squared, CAPSQUARED.
Yep.
Dot itch, as in scratch.
Okay.
Dot
scratch and itch.
.io/NYOOM. NYOOM.
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 Support this game. All I see is a off orange. What the hell's going on with it? There we go. Made with Unity. Neum, tap to Neum. What am I supposed to do? Okay, we'll hit play. Play. That is apparently, whoop. Oh, I see. I think. What the hell's going on?
Fun little interactive game, it looks like.
The point of the game is to learn how to play the game, and then learn how to play it well.
Play. Oh, man, I just missed. You're I see not, what I got to do here.
You got to click it in time.
There. No.
Oh!
Good catch.
I caught it.
Click it now.
I'm in level 3. Woohoo! What the frack is this?
Duh.
Oh, this looks like a fun game.
Nope, that's not how. So, yeah, half the fun is trying to figure out what the hell you're supposed to do. Nope, that's not what I'm supposed to do.
It's only half the fun. So, the gameplay is you click on the screen, and the screen changes. There's a ball that is moving from place to place, and as the screen changes, the ball can hit a surface, or you can click and the surface will go away.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that's what I got my ball stuck.
Walden, how's your ball doing over there?
He's still waiting for that to drop.
I have no ball.
You got to be quick. You don't.
That's
get
what she said.
Oh, I see what I was supposed to get the star. Now I got it. No!
I think it's a fun game. Make sure you guys play this.
It will get so frustrating.
Oh, you dirty son of a bitch. It glitched on me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm notorious for yelling. The game cheats. Kind of known for it.
Oh, I'm going to get this. Damn it, Alda.
I even tried this.
I got it! Level 1, baby! Nice.
There
it's
you
only
go.
Level 1. All
we
right.
Got a winner.
8 moves.
Pick anything on the bottom shelf.
I got an eraser again.
Oh, so it's a profit deal, hey?
All right, so the website is capsquared.itch.io/Neum.
Neum.
N-Y-O-O-M.
Neum.
Check it out. It's better than the polka dot game.
Beep.
So for Rich and Walden and Alan, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to Shenanigans.
Happy New Year, bitches.
2021.